Have I ever known anybody that was a Christian, that was born again of the Holy Spirit, and then fell away? You bet. Many of them, they walked away from Christ. They went back into sin. And today, those people are still walking in the darkness. And if they die, you think they're going to go to heaven? I don't think so. Heaven is a holy place.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul surrendered his life to Jesus nearly 50 years ago. He's looked to Christ for help in temptation, strength in adversity, and guidance in uncertainty. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's story sharing the joy he's found in abiding with Christ in discipleship. Returning to Hebrews today, Raul will challenge us to consider whether we're truly living in submission to the Lord or whether we're followers in name only. As you stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio, you'll see that while being a Christian requires more than a one-time prayer asking Jesus to be your Savior, true discipleship is a daily decision to walk in God's truth. It's a commitment to following His commands and honoring Him with obedience. Here's Raul Reese now in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3.
Paul says this, beginning with verses 1 to 3, the appeal that Paul has here. And remember, it takes you back to chapter 5, 11, where it starts, the exhortation, and now it continues here. He says, because, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or of the doctrine of baptism, or the laying on of hands, or the resurrection of the dead, or an eternal judgment. Here Paul the apostle is saying, you know, these are the doctrines that have been given to you. These are like the ABCs. When you become a Christian, you learn about literally how you need to lay hands upon a person, how to repent from dead works and faith toward God, and the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands. Which these again are the Jewish principles in their faith, but also in Christianity, think of not ever learning how to fight the devil or how to overcome the devil or how to overcome a temptation. That's because of immaturity. That means you're not reading your Bible. You're not studying the Word of God. So when things happen like that, there's no solidness in that child of God's life. So then he says this, verse 3. And this we will do if God permits. So notice he's seeking permission from God to go on. He wants to go on to share. And then verses 4 to 8 now, the argument. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him into an open shame. Notice how hard that is. What he's saying. Well, first of all, here we see that the Calvinists say that these people were never Christians. I disagree with that. Because it says they were enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Enlightened. They tasted of the heavenly gift. What's a heavenly gift? Salvation. Through the Holy Spirit. They've been enlightened. They tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit. I mean, to me, that's somebody that actually came to the truth. They came to the truth. They're not sleeping. But check this out, verse 5. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. They know about heaven and hell. They know the truth. They tasted it. And check this out. This is so amazing. Look what he says. If they fall away, what does that stand for? Apostasy. Have I ever known anybody that was a Christian, that was born again of the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, and then fell away? You bet. Many of them, close to me. I could not say, oh, they never knew Christ. Oh, no, they knew Christ. They walked away from Christ. They went back into sin. And today, those people are still walking in the darkness. And if they die, you think they're going to go to heaven? I don't think so. I don't think so. Heaven is a holy place. That's why Paul the Apostle, in writing every one of his epistles, in Corinthians, in Galatians, in Ephesians, even the book of James and Peter, tells you that those people that continue to practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's very clear. You don't have to take away from it or add to it. He's talking to Christians in every one of the epistles. So I think it's really important that we understand that here now, he's talking about those that fall away, apostasy. He says a deliberate turning away from God. And saying, I don't want no more part of God. I'm walking away. That's apostasy. See you later, God. I don't want you anymore in my life. He says, if they fall away, to renew them. Notice the original condition was what? They knew God. To renew them. Again, to repentance. Sins, they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him into an open shame. Pretty heavy. What he's saying here, because the different views that are given to us for interpretations, they say that this is a safe person that actually is lost, or a safe person that is backsliding, or a safe person compromises, or professing believers that never really were saved. You see? Four views. You can take all four views. I say what the Word of God is saying here. This person, notice, he was renewed. He says, if they fall away, to renew them again. Which means what? They were renewed. He's not talking to non-believers. To renew them again, notice, for themselves, what? Again. Again, to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. What were the Jewish people doing? The Judaizers. They had the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ cleanses us and washes us. You know what? That's not good for me. I'm going to go kill a lamb or turtle dove. You're crucifying the Son of God afresh. You're saying that the animal blood is better than Christ's blood. Doesn't work that way. He came to stop that. This is an amazing chapter. A chapter for all of us to be concerned about. Not to get worried about it, but to have peace. You see? Not to add to it, not to take away from it. You know, you can keep your view. That's fine with me. But I'm just telling you what I've been taught. And the way Calvary Chapel stands, abiding is the key. John 15. Let's look for a second. What does John 15 say? Well, let's read it. John 15, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Who's the branch? We are. We're in the vine. Okay, watch this. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bring forth more fruit. You already are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, notice, unless it abides in the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus. Notice that. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Now he says, let me make it clear. Me, Jesus. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Underline that. You see? Now watch. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch that is withered. He has no life, notice. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. And then check this out. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done unto you. I mean, how much clearer can you have that? John 15. Jesus talking. He made the rules. So we see Paul the apostle here again. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him in the open shame. Now, watch this. What does God do to Christians? Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Beginning with verse 3, he says, "For consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and are discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten an exhortation which speaks to you as a sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." Notice, be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens," notice, "and scorches every son that he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" I mean, he's speaking clearly. If you were not a son, then God could care less about you. You're an unbeliever. You got to come to Christ. Otherwise, Christ can't help you. But because we are believers and we are Christians, God cares because we're his children. As a father, he watches over us. And what does he do? He's constantly chastening us, correcting us so that we can walk in truth. He doesn't want you to be a spoiled child, you see? But he corrects us because he loves us. Now watch this. Verse 7 of chapter 6 of Hebrews. Go back there. Look what he says. This is amazing. He says, "For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives a blessing from God." He says, now, a true believer is the one that in the actual parable of the sower in Matthew 13, what does he say? He says there are four types of ears. The first one is the one that comes to a church, hears the message, but has no faith, walks away, forgets about everything. The second one comes, listens, emotionally he gets stirred up. He might even get up and come forward, go back there in counsel, but in a few days he'll fall away. The word of God doesn't sustain him. But then the third one, because of the emotions, he was emotional. The third one is the one that comes forward, but the actual things of the world, the parties, the money, the fame, all these things literally pull him away, and they never come to the truth either. But the fourth are the best. They come forward, they have a true conversion, and they bring forth 30, 60, and 100 fold in fruit. That's what Jesus said. 30, 60, and 100 fold, he said, it will bring forth. That's what he said in verse 7. The true believers here, what? God blesses them because of faith. The faith they have in Jesus Christ. But watch verse 8. "But if it bears thorns," what's thorns? Sin, right? What does he say? "And briars, it is rejected and near being cursed, whose end is to be burned." Same thing Jesus said in John 15. Imagine that. How much clearer do we need it? You don't have to change the Bible. It speaks for itself. He gives you the illustration in verses 7 and 8. Those who are real, those who are not real. Speaking again in Judaism. Those that wanted to go back to killing lambs and goats and turtle doves and actually forfeit what Jesus Christ had done for them. Surely that is the God's perfect will for each one of us. And then he now is going to be speaking to us on that assurance we can have. Notice again verse 9 now. "We are confident of better things concerning you." Yes. "Things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner." Salvation that has been given to us. Salvation is number one what? The free gift of God. It is God's grace. Ephesians 2, 5 and 8. It is by grace, not by works, that we are saved. It is God's love. Romans 5, 8, that drew me to God. And thirdly, it is God's mercy. Titus 3, 5, what? By being born again of the Holy Spirit. Being born again of the Holy Spirit now. Regeneration in my life. Then, Notice what he says, verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister today. Notice what Paul is saying here. He's saying, you guys, I am aware of your work in the Lord. I'm aware what you're doing for the Lord. God doesn't sleep or slumber. God sees everything that we do for him. He keeps the record in his book. I love that. That here Paul confirms that God is aware of every one of my works. Whatever I'm doing, God sees it. The word minister is the word to serve, serving the Lord in the Greek, to serve him. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. That's the key. We do it out of love, which you have shown towards his name. How did we do it? We did it for the name of Jesus, not for ourselves. We do it for him, not for us. And that you have ministered to the saints and do minister or serve them. You're serving other believers. You're helping them. You're being a real Christian. Notice that. This is expressing God's love when we serve other people, not just ourselves. Verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same speediness or diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. This is my hope, salvation, eternity, secure. Why? Because I am abiding in Jesus Christ. John 15, 1 through 8. But I'll tell you what, when you live a life unstable in sin, you start making up excuses and you start doing what? You start really going the other way and you're not sure about yourself. So you defend yourself with something else. We don't have to do that. Then he says again, notice verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, notice, or slothful, but imitate or mimic those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. I love that. Notice what he's saying here. He's talking about the Judaizers and the tares. And here he's talking about that sluggish and mimicking the Lord and the true Christians that have true faith and patience inheriting the promises of God. Notice God has given to us his promises through his word. That's why we're here tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one that has done it all. Verse 13, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no other one or no one greater, he swore by himself. What do you mean? He swore by himself. There's nobody else greater than that. God is it. No one greater than God. He keeps his promises. Beautiful. Notice that. Verse 14, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Abraham. He's going back into the Old Testament, Genesis 22, 16 and 17. Then he said in verse 15, and so after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Why? Notice, he never changed his mind. Jesus would come through the seed of Abraham, through Isaac, Jacob, and all the way through. And so here we see that salvation is offered through Jesus Christ, but it started way back with Abraham as a non-believer and God saving him before the law and then using him to become the father of what? Of the Jews and of everyone. Abraham, beautiful, amazing. Verse 16, for men indeed swear by the greater, it says, and an oath for confirmation is for them and an end of all dispute or strife, you know. I mean, when God says something, he's going to do it. He doesn't lie. He's not a liar. You see, and the promise was given and he kept it. Notice verse 17 now, how God is unchanging. If he makes the promise, he will not go back on it. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs, notice, of promise, the immutability of his counsel, his word, confirmed it by an oath. Notice that God keeps his promises, God keeps his word, and whatever he says, he will do it. That's the God that we believe in. This is his word right here, the Bible. God's holy word. Notice how beautiful that is. And of course, again, look what he says, verse 18. That by two immutable, or that is the promise and the oath, things in which it is impossible for God to lie, God doesn't lie, he might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay a hold of the hope set before us. What are you saying? When sinners are running for refuge, where do we run to? We run to Jesus. In the Old Testament, where they go? They ran to the cities of refuge, a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Then look what he says, verse 19. This hope, what hope? Jesus Christ. We have an anchor. Notice, what's the anchor? The word of God is the anchor. Notice that. Of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Remember, the veil covered the Ark of the Covenant. The veil was what? That only the priest could enter in once a year on the day of Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil was ripped in half. It was torn down. And now anybody can enter into the holies of holies because of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. In Christ Jesus. I love it. Who we are. I do not get thrown by the storms of life. My security is in Jesus Christ. He is my hope and my eternity. I have access to Jesus Christ anytime I want him. Anytime I want him. They had it once a year on the Day of Atonement. They have three feasts, but on the Day of Atonement, everybody would come for their sins. And yet we sin daily, we come to him daily. And he's what? Able and just to forgive me for all my sins.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll send you an unedited copy for a gift of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching from Hebrews chapter 6. We'd also like to support you in strengthening your commitment to the Lord with a helpful new resource from Raul. Simply titled Faith, this 4-CD audio series provides a more complete picture of what it looks like to fully surrender to God as you put your trust in His perfect love and sovereign power. You'll see that when you make the daily decision to follow the Lord's leading, He can work in and through you to accomplish His perfect plan for your life. Contact us today to purchase Raul's new Faith Study Pack. To place your order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this 4-CD collection for a gift of $20 or more. Our phone number once again is 800-634-9165. If you'd like to order by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Our goal here at Somebody Loves You Radio is to make God's truth easily accessible to you in a variety of formats. Join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that explores relevant life issues from a biblical point of view. You can also download any Somebody Loves You Radio program as a podcast using Spotify and iTunes. And you'll find more teaching when you download our free app to your iPhone or Android. We're committed to helping you replace anxiety and confusion with hope and purpose as you find solid ground in the pages of God's Word. Let us know if there are any ways that we can better serve you or ways that we can pray for you. This ministry is made possible through your continued partnership. Every gift you give is tax deductible, and your generosity helps keep us on the air. Well, thanks for allowing us to spend a few moments today studying God's Word. We hope you'll join us again next time for more guidance and encouragement as you pursue God's perfect will for your life. Here's Raul now to wrap up today's lesson.
Verse 20, where the forerunner, notice Jesus here sitting at the right hand of God, the forerunner has entered for us. Who's the forerunner? Jesus again. He sits at the right hand of the Father. That's why he had to come from all eternity. He had to go to the cross. He had to die. 3 days later, rest again. 40 days he was here talking to the disciples, getting ready. Then he what? Ascended to heaven. And he's coming back again the same way. And then the Holy Spirit was sent. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become what? Our high priest. How long? Forever. according to the order of who? The type of Jesus Christ, Melchizedek, in the Old Testament. I love it. What did the priest do? Once a year, he would go for the people into the holiest of holies and commit what? Atonement for them. Now, what do the Jews do today? Guess what? Nothing. They do good deeds. There's no lambs. There's no goats. There's no temple. So they go out on the day of Yom Kippur and they try to do good for all the evil they've done. You can't do it. Sorry. Only through Jesus Christ. He's the only Redeemer. He's the only Savior of the world. And He's the only one that can give us peace of mind and heart as we seek Him as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
I am falling in love.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.